This is the only game in which it's sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong. And right here's the man who's seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you, welcome, and once again, for Right or Wrong, we have on my left Sheila Hancock and Audrey Melly, all set to do battle with the two men on my right, John Cleese and Pete Murray. Once more, let me try and explain how the game works. I ask a question, and the team which wants to answer buzzes or rings. And you all know that men buzz and women ring. If the answer's correct and the other team agrees with them, the first team scores 5 points. If they're wrong, but with such conviction the other team think they're right, they score 10. Or to put it another way, you get twice as many points when one team successfully misleads the other, which is the point of the game. You can get double for being right as well, but only if the opposing team thinks that you're wrong. You'll see how it works as we go along. To add a little extra spice and confusion, each team has been given 4 answers, but neither team knows which 4 answers the other team has been given. So in this atmosphere of mutual mistrust, here's the first question. If you caught me sniggling, what would I be doing? A buzz, Pete Murray.
Yes, it is in fact a punishable offence. Sniggling in the 18th century... the people that were found sniggling were in fact placed in the stocks for, I believe, a period of some 17 days. It's an extraordinary figure, but 17 days. It is in fact a form of canoodling, or as we might call it, necking, but done in the public places at the time. It was considered to be immoral, sniggling.
Public immoral necking.
I think it's wrong at any time.
5 points.
Quite right.
You get 5 points because you're right in establishing that Pete Murray was wrong.
Yes.
Audrey Melly.
Right. It is, in fact...
You're going to tell?
No, you can.
No, you too.
All right, yes. It's something that Andre and I do quite a lot. It is, of course, which is obvious, a combination between a snigger and a giggle. It's a sniggle. And when we are doing it, we are sniggling.
You do that a lot.
Yes, I know. I'm doing it
a lot. A mixture between a giggle and a snicker.
Wrong. Disastrously wrong.
5 points. No. I'll give a bonus for 10.
For 10. Sniggling.
Any ideas, John?
Let's read it off the paper.
Yeah.
Since it's one we've been given. A man who sniggles is a man engaged in a riverbank activity. He is catching eels.
Right or wrong?
He thinks that if he does that, we'll think he's making it up, and he isn't because he's right. Yes, it's a double bluff, he's right.
He is right.
Yes.
Sniggling is catching eels. You get 10 points, but you don't get 20 because you didn't successfully bluff the opposition. What was down to quagga in 1858?
I beg your pardon?
What was done to the quagga in 1858? Audrey Milley.
It was drained.
Is that right or wrong?
Well, it's partially right. It was the Australian gold rush. I don't think it's sufficiently on the subject, so it's wrong.
Mm. Correct. 5 points.
What was in fact done was that it was the centre of the Australian gold rush, and it was where all the gold was being sifted out from the rubbish and the garbage.
Is that right or
wrong? So I would say sifting.
Wait, careful.
Wrong.
Correct. 5 points.
What was done to the
quagga
was that they became extinct. They were a tribe of little-known Africans. They're little-known now because they're extinct. I mean, they were probably quite well-known before they were extinct.
Yes.
She's very nearly right, but she isn't right.
10 points.
It's an animal that was extinct. I think it was an animal. I really think a quagga was an animal, and I can't remember what it was like, but I think it was like a zebra.
They're right, because we've got it written down! Oh.
Well done. 10 points, the boys.
Well done.
And this was a question which the answer had been given to the girl. It was hunted out of existence, and it was a type of wild horse resembling a zebra or zebra.
What sort of man knows the answer to a question like that?
And the score now is the boys have 40, the girls have 20. I'm going to play you a tape, and I want to know who the speaker is.
Wonderful. I love that. I have fortunate enough to have a beautiful suite on the fifth floor here. And we see the River Thames.
Yes.
And it's the most beautiful human, wonderful sight.
Sheila Hancock.
Frederick March.
I thought he was a Yankee. Oh, I beg your pardon, an American person.
But a very good class one who speaks with a Boston accent.
Even the good class ones don't speak.
Is it right or wrong?
It's wrong.
Correct.
Wrong.
5 points.
It's wrong.
Not it's Frederick March.
Clearly an English person. But there is a touch of American.
Do you want to have another quick
yes.
listen?
Can I have another listen?
Yes, can we hear it again?
Another quick listen.
There is a slight American.
Wonderful. I love that. I have fortunate enough to have a beautiful suite on the fifth floor here, and we see the River Thames.
Yes.
And it's the most beautiful human, wonderful sight.
I think there is American there, so it's an Englishman who spent a lot of time in America. And I think it's probably Charlie Chaplin.
Thanks, Charlie.
That's just what we said to each other.
Right, right.
Correct. It was Charlie Chaplin.
Evil. They're evil. Evil women.
Still, you got 5 points. You're now in the lead by 30 points.
Who is?
We are.
You,
we
the
are.
Men.
I can't believe it.
Oh. Race, because he's
nor can we.
Now, would you listen fairly carefully to this next question? What is the English for Chung Hua Hien Min Kung Hu Kuo? Sheila Hancock.
People's Republic of China.
Yeah, Chung Hua is China, yeah. Right.
You speak it fluently, so you have no problem.
Sheila gets 5 points. I didn't think you would get this. But it is, in fact, Chinese for the People's Republic of China.
Can I just tell you, I learned Chinese for 5 days as a stunt for the Frost program, and I can say Jugashaw Wada Pang Yo Fu Shan Chen, which means this is my good friend Mr. Frost.
I had a Chinese line in a play once, and it was Naka Naka Shitika Lemka, and I never knew what it meant. It's true.
I think it's just as well you did.
Which two topical stories bring us to the next question? What is the commonest bird in the world?
Communist what? Communist?
Bird.
Communist.
What is... I'll say that again, but I... What is the commonest bird in the world? John Cleese got in first for the buzz.
Chaffinch.
Wrong.
5 points. Not the chaffinch.
Well, I think a chicken is very common.
Sparrow.
Wrong.
30-point bonus coming up.
I've heard this. I can't think what it is. Do you have any idea?
I'm not actually a bird watcher in that sense.
What is the commonest bird in the world? And I'll give you a clue. There are 3,000 million of them.
Ah. Yes. We're talking of wild birds as well, aren't we?
What is the commonest bird in the world?
Yes.
We haven't got much more time.
What?
That's right.
Do I get a half for that? No. It's the pigeon.
For 20 points, the pigeon?
Wait a minute. When he does that, it's always dodgy. are you including wood pigeons? All sorts of pigeons.
Wait a minute. Big pigeons are the ones.
I think he's right.
With bad legs. And
that's 40 points to the men because he's wrong.
Yeah.
But it is the chicken.
It is
the chicken.
It is a chicken.
A sneaky chairman wouldn't have given it to me, you see. You should have said
if I
right.
marked you on everything you said, neither of you would have any points at all. We come to Poetry Corner. Who wrote this? There were once two young people of taste who were beautiful down to the waist, so they limited love to the regions above and so remained perfectly chaste. Pete Murray.
Patient Strong.
Is that right or wrong?
Wrong. It's lovely.
5 points.
Nice.
It was
the American.
You know, went
Lear.
Oh, one went blind.
Or I was, we'll say Lear.
Can I just explain that that is not how you go blind? Lear.
Wrong.
5 points. I'll give a 25-point bonus.
Can we hear it again?
Yes. There were once two young people of taste who were beautiful down to the waist, so they limited love to the regions above and so remained perfectly chaste. I think that is how you go blind. But we are looking for the author.
Yes. Monica Strong.
Monica Strong. Patience is his sister. Wrong.
25 points to the girls.
Well, Ogden Nash.
No, the meat is too good.
25 points to the men and a 50 bonus.
You did nearly get it right. The word Monica.
Monica.
Monica Curtis.
What do you think? No, I've heard it. No, wrong.
100 points to the men.
Oh! I thought it was.
Monica Curtis is right. The men have a lead of 165 points. At which point it seems only fair to bring in our celebrity. And this week's celebrity is the BBC's Sky at Night man, Mr. Patrick Moore. Hello. Now, what happens in the celebrity spot is that Mr. Patrick Moore will read a potted autobiography which will contain one deliberate mistake, upon which the team can play right or wrong. Are you ready to start?
I am indeed. The story of my life in one easy lesson. I was born on March the 4th, 1923, at Pinner, then a country village outside London. Unlike Glendower's, my birth was not attended by any celestial portents, apart from a thunderstorm. Having learnt to walk by pulling myself up on the ears of a fierce Alsatian, and to read by using Stephen Leacock's nonsense novels, I became interested in astronomy at the age of 6, and I joined the British Astronomical Association at the age of 11. My first scientific papers were published in 1936. I joined the RAF, and during my initial training, I claimed to be the only navigator who was pinpointed Bristol when actually over Norwich. having emerged from the RAF, limping rather heavily on two sticks, I began to write. To date, my score's about 60 books, I think. I became a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society and a professional astronomer in 1946. At the moment, I'm vice president of the British Astronomical Association. For the past 3 years, I've lived at Selsey in Sussex, where I've every intention of remaining if I can. I live in a thatched house there, and I've set up my observatory in the grounds. I play village cricket on Sundays, etc. I've been on television for some time. The Sky at Night began in 1957, and we haven't missed a month since then. And I've lectured a good deal. I well remember an episode in Moscow in 1961 when I was over there on a tour, and at one stage I put my fur hat ski on a bust of Lenin, and this almost created an international incident. I hope it's been forgotten now, and at least I have just been made an honorary member of the Astronomical Society of the USSR. End of the installment. I now wait to be shot at.
Now, this narrative contained only one deliberate mistake. Who would like to start? Sheila Hancock.
I don't believe you've got your observatory in the garden, because if the planning committee is anything like the planning committee in Gloucestershire, they'd never have let you build it.
Is that right or wrong?
It's wrong.
What do you say?
I have got my observatory in the garden. It's a wooden thing standing upon concrete. It has no foundations, and the planning committee can't touch me. In fact, I actually did tell them to go and jump in the sea.
5 points to the men.
I don't think that the program Sky at Night started in 1957.
Is that right or wrong?
I think he's right. That wasn't the actual date.
That's 10 points to the men, because
Yes, it did start in 1957. We did our first program in April of that year, and we have, in fact, gone on without missing a month since. Some people are gluttons for punishment, you know.
Would anyone risk asking another question after that?
I don't think it first published in 1936.
I agree. I think that means he published at the age of 13, and he also was the one sentence in it that he didn't deliver with his customary enthusiasm, delightful enthusiasm, so I agree with Sheila.
That's 20 points, the girls, because...
In fact, I did publish my first science answer. It was entitled Small Craterlets in the Lunar Mare Crisium, and I still have it, and I was, in fact, 13. Things were very different in those days, and the whole idea of going to the moon... Well, anyone who said that was regarded as a nutcase. In fact, I was. I possibly still am.
Usually, in Right or Wrong, if somebody gives a wrong selection and is correctly guessed as being right or incorrectly... Do you understand? No.
No.
Usually, if somebody says that is right, when in fact is wrong, the game ends.
Yes.
But in this case... we go on, because it was wrong.
It was wrong, yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to set a precedent. So you are allowed to ask more questions.
Right.
It's their turn, isn't it?
No.
No, it's
yours. Our turn, is it? Oh, dear.
I seem to have got them baffled. Isn't it splendid?
Yeah, you do, yes. I've got
60 books down here. What do you think about that?
Small?
60 books?
Quite a lot, isn't it? That's stars. What about pinpointing Bristol for Norwich? It's a bit... He said he was the only one that did that. I'm quite sure my husband did when he was in that.
No, I think we rest our case here.
Would you like a quick flash?
I don't think his cottage is thatched for one moment. I think, mind you, I think it's slightly unfair of him to expect us to pick this up.
Yes, in fact, I think
he lives in an unthatched cottage. Is that right or wrong?
I think it is. I think it's wrong. It is thatched.
Well, quite right. 50 points to the girls because...
It is, in fact, thatched, yes. It's a thatched house right down on the Sussex coast.
I'm going to very quickly read you a very short stretch of this in which the mistake occurs.
Shall I read it again, or would you rather?
No, you just depart from...
Right, from here, shall we read here. Now, this contains the original mistake, right? Having emerged from the RAF, limping rather heavily on two sticks, I began to write. To date, my score is about 60 books. I became a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society and a professional astronomer in 1946. At the moment, I'm vice president of the British Astronomical Association, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's not society, it's association the first time. It's not. There's only one.
Hold on. It's not society, it's association. 50-point bonus. Is that right or wrong?
Yes, right.
It's 100 points to the men, because...
Right, I'll tell you the answer. The whole clue is this. I said I became a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society, which I did, and a professional astronomer in 1946. I am not a professional astronomer. I'm an amateur.
Oh.
Patrick Moore, amateur astronomer, and the first man to beat the combined panels of Right or Wrong. Thank you very much for being here. Yes, celebrity.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed being had.
The score is now 380 to the men, 130 to the girls. I will do my best to make the scores closer, as is my wont. In the meantime, I will play you a tape.
It's a woman singing with a band, recording of a woman singing with a band.
John Cleese, I want to know, this piece of music is known simply as Spring Song. I want to know the name of the singer. You may buzz or ring, who knows. Pete Murray, you rang.
It was, in fact based on a commercial jingle for baked beans, the original one. And the singer in question, it was turned down for the baked bean advert, this is absolutely true. And the singer, in fact, is Sophia Loren.
Oh,
it does right
sound
wrong. It's correct. 5 points.
It is...
You may have a 100-point bonus for this.
It is... Thank you. Because it is, in fact, a wonderful actress
Not such a good singer.
By the name of Vanessa Redgrave.
Is that right or wrong?
I think that's right.
200 points to the girls. And to embarrass you further, I would like you to hear Vanessa Redgrave again impersonating Miss Ottilie Patterson singing the spring song.
Hot.
It's spring, my love, it's spring. I sit beside the telephone, but still you never ring. My love.
This has been a very early recording.
Yeah.
But this has...
Thank you.
Brought the girls up to 335 points against 380. They're only 45 in it. And in fact, it's pretty close. On the Beaufort scale, what force number is a wind described as moderate?
Oh.
John Cleese.
Three or four.
I'm afraid.
Three.
Right or wrong?
Oh, they're acting like mad, but I don't know whether it's a double bluff or a bluff.
Wrong.
Correct.
It's
five
four.
Points. Four.
That could also be a treble bluff.
Or quadruple bluff. It's four.
Yes, quadruple.
I think that's right. I think four sounds about right.
Mm. So. It is right. It is four. 5 points.
We were guessing.
Were you? What is the recognised birthstone for September?
Oh.
Sheila Hancock.
It's a moonstone.
Well, I'm born in September. I come under the heading of Virgo. And, case comes up next week. But I've never really heard of... Have you, John?
No, I think that's wrong.
No.
Sorry, you know.
5 points. It is wrong. What is the recognised birthstone for September?
Amethyst?
No, it's wrong because I'm born in September. Hiya, Virgo.
Hiya, kid.
And it's a garnet, you see, because I wear them all the time.
Well, can we just stop for a moment? 5 points. It's not amethyst.
Yes.
There's a 10-point bonus.
Oh, thank you.
And garnet.
For a garnet.
Mm. I think that was a very clever bit of bluffing.
That was excellent. I don't even know what a garnet looks like. That is one, is it really? Rubbish.
There is a new radio game in which people show each other jewels. But it may not catch on.
I think that I was wrong.
Wrong.
Correct. It is wrong. What is the recognised birthstone for September?
Citrine.
Mm.
Wrong.
It's a
sapphire.
15-point bonus. Mm-hmm. It is wrong.
Sorry.
It's a sapphire. I think I'd buy a sapphire.
Would you buy a sapphire? Rather expensive. They're whispering to each other now, John. That means...
Well, it's all an act.
Yeah, it is an act.
What do you mean?
She's laughing, too, you see. She's smiling.
Oh, when I laugh.
Both of you laughing.
Wrong.
30 points to the girls. It is sapphire.
Oh, I knew. One place up to two.
I was whispering to make you think I'd just thought of something.
The score is now 400 to the girls, 395 to the girls. I never thought I'd get them that close. I'm going to play you another tape, and I want you to identify what is making the noise.
Is that all we get?
Yes, that's it. Wonder many.
It's a stag, a kind of stag in a very excitable...
No, it's fine, just the animal, not its state.
I mean...
A stag, right or wrong?
Can we hear it again? Yes, I'd love
to. Yes, you may hear it again. It's not...
Do you mind if I move away while
you
do it?
It's not time-consuming. You may...
No, it couldn't be a stag.
No.
It can't be an elephant, can it?
No, five no, points to you. It's no, not a stag.
No, no, I can, in fact. Do you want me to press the buzzer, or can I say what
you
it
say
is?
You say
it. It is, in fact, a trombone.
A trombone.
No, wrong.
5 points to the girls. There's now a 10-point bonus.
No. Do you think it's an elephant?
Do you want to hear it once?
Once.
Right, the girls to guess.
It's an excitable elephant.
It's an elephant.
I think it's an elephant, but Joe, I never heard anything make a silly noise.
I don't think it's an elephant.
Not an elephant. 20 points to the girls because it was an elephant. It was an African elephant. Oh, the girls have now leapt into the lead by 25 points. Here is the last question. We start with a bonus of 10. How long is a chukka?
I'm going, chukka. Oh, chukka.
How tall is a chukka?
How long is a chukka?
A chukka.
Yes.
Chukka boot.
No, a chukka. Donkey.
It's polo.
How long is it, though?
It's a term used in polo. And it's the length of a period of play. And they play six chukkas, which last for 45 minutes. So it takes a quarter of an hour.
Is that right or wrong?
Six for 45 minutes.
No, I'm not asking you to check his arithmetic. His answer was 15
wrong,
minutes.
Wrong.
Is wrong. 10 points.
Isn't it the thing they hit, which is about 4 inches? No, he's right. It is a time thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think. And it's 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
No.
10 points is not 5 minutes.
Wrong.
We now have 20-point bonus.
We've got to get it this time.
Yes, we must.
We've got to get it this
we
time.
We really must. Otherwise,
but it's 6 into 45.
20-point bonus. And you're 25 points behind, which means that if you know the answer, they have got to reject it. Mm. On the other hand, if you don't know the answer, they have to accept it for you to win.
They have to accept it.
They have to reject the wrong answer or accept.
Sorry, I think it's 4 months. 4.5 months. 4.5 months.
Four and a half months.
It's 4.5 months. Wrong.
Correct. Wrong. 20 points. The girls who are now 45 points in the lead.
It is a length of time. I'm not being misled by him. It isn't the actual stick. 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
What?
Right or wrong?
Why do you talk to me? I've been very happily sitting here minding my own
business. Wrong.
That's 20 points to the men, who are now 25 behind, and it's a 40 points bonus for the last round.
It's 7.49 minutes long. 7.98 minutes. It's 7.51. 7.51 minutes long.
Oh, no.
7.51 minutes long.
7.51 minutes long. Does he have to get it to the nearest
sun? He's got to get it right.
Wrong.
Correct. It is wrong.
Can't we be mean and back out? Because would it be unsporting to back out?
No, you're absolutely justified in backing out.
All right, we back out.
50 points to the girls. 505, they win by to 430, because the chukka is exactly what John Cleese said when he first spoke. It is 1/6 of 45 minutes, which is 7.5 minutes.
Well, 7.51 was pretty near.
Not near enough, having been given the answer. So, the girls, Audrey Melly and Sheila Hancock, have beaten John Cleese and Pete Murray.
I'm saying that.
Right or wrong is over for another week. And from us here and from me, goodbye.
Your chairman in Right or Wrong was Clement Freud. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Christopher Searle.